Hey everybody, welcome back to That Girl with me, Danielle Decker. So glad, as always, that you're joining me this week, that you decided to press play, and that you're taking some time out of your day to hang out with me today. And I am excited, as usual, for what I have for you today. And really what sprouted today's episode, which I hope is finding you well. The weather, Lord knows I love to talk about the weather first because that's just what us good Midwesterners do. We are having awesome November weather. So I hope you, wherever you are listening to this, I hope you're having some great weather and sunshine as well. But now that I got that out of the way, this episode really stemmed from something cool that I saw. And something that I had heard that was worth repeating. And I'm always so thankful when I hear somebody else's word or something that they were reading and it struck them and it was something God showed them that was new and, you know, oh my goodness, I'd never read it before like that or whatever. I love that because I love being able to read my Bible, and every time I do, you're looking at things and it's like, wow, yes, I see that. And God just reveals things to you and shows you things. And I mean, that's what I love about the Bible anyway. Every time you read it, you know, God shows you something new. You can read the same scripture 100 times and every single time it feels like it changes. It's just wild. But that's because it's the living word. God's word and his truth is living. And in the sense that, it doesn't change. The words that are written are never, ever going to change. There's never going to be a new Bible, an updated Bible, an updated version or whatever. I mean, while there might be, you know, different versions out there of the Bible, as far as wording goes, but the Bible and what it is and what it says, that's never going to change. But in the same sense, it will change for you because we have the Holy Spirit, guiding us and showing us, revealing Jesus to us all the more in the Word. And so depending on what we're going through or things that are happening in our life, or obviously, and learning and growing from other people, we hear their perspective. And it's just, it's incredible. I love that. I love that about my Bible. I love that no matter what I'm going through, I can read it. I can listen to it. I can study the same scriptures over and over, and God will show me something new every time. And I love that. And so that's kind of what happened with this episode, is I had seen something, and like I said, it bears repeating. And I think it's important because I believe that I did not go back and look, but I'm pretty sure, of course, it's been a while, that I did an episode on our identity. And I think I even called it like identity crisis or something. So I encourage you, go back and listen to that one. I think I'm going to do the same myself. Because as we well know, we are having an identity crisis in so many ways. I mean, I think as a whole, we could say, not everyone, but again, as a whole, I think we're having an identity crisis as Americans. I really think, unfortunately and sadly, it absolutely breaks my heart that we are forgetting who we are as Americans and what our country stands for, what our country was founded on, and what that means. I think we're having a serious identity crisis as far as that goes. I think Satan has deceived parents into believing a lie about what parenting is and what that looks like. So there's identity crisis in parenting, in marriage, very sadly, there is a major identity crisis, especially in these younger generations, as we see so much of this trans culture and LGBTQ plus, you know, what is that? There is a lot of, you know, identity crisis happening in the sense of who God created us to be and what that looks like. And while we each have our own identity, personally, a personal identity that God has created you and made you specific, unlike anyone else, and how incredible out of billions of people. And I mean, all the people since the beginning of time, there's no one like you. I mean, how incredible is that? How could we even say that there isn't a God, right? I mean, wow. And you have a unique identity. But like I say, I mean, we have identity as men and as women, as Christians. You know, these are things that God instituted for good, for his good pleasure and for his purpose. And when we lose that, it can crumble the very foundation of our lives. Because if you really think about it, when you get down to the basis of who you are, do you not build your life from that foundation? And even though sometimes it feels like we don't, because you're like, oh, I don't even know who I am. Okay, well, are you a man or a woman? Because we know there's only two genders. Okay, well, I'm a woman. And then am I a Christian? Am I an American? You know, there's all these things that we can point out, right? And it all goes back to who we are. And what I heard that struck me, and again, this is interpretation. So, I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord, but it paints a picture here that I think is important. And we're talking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we all know that story that God created this garden that I can't wait to hopefully see someday, because we, in our minds, can't even fathom how beautiful this garden was. And we know in the middle of it, you know, he had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and, you know, God created Adam, and from Adam, he created the woman. And see, that's where we miss it sometimes. And I don't want to say that we miss it in the sense of not understanding, but this was something that I had not looked at it from this perspective. That when they eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve is not yet named. She is known as the woman. Adam has a name. Eve is not yet named. She is the woman. And what does Satan do? He comes and he starts talking to her. And is that what God said? Does he really care? You know, why would he want to keep this one tree from you? You know, all these things, right? He starts getting in her head, this woman. And he deceives her. He deceives this woman. And in Genesis 3, verse 13, it says, "And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" And what's so sad, honestly, but also so eye-opening and so poignant for any time, but especially right now, I feel, is that the serpent went after the person with no name. She had no identity, per se. She was not yet named. She was just the woman. And that's the one that the serpent decided to go after. And in my traditional Christian wife way of thinking, yes, I do think that women are the... how do I want to say this? I would never, ever say the lesser of the sexes. But you know, the softer, women, we make a lot of decisions based upon our feelings, where men are most of the time more black and white. And that's why God created us differently for all these beautiful, complex reasons. And that's a whole nother podcast. But in saying that, I'm sure that he knew, because Eve is a woman, that she may be easier to convince. But I do find it interesting that he went after Eve, who had not yet been named. She was the woman. And without an identity, how easy it is for us to believe anything. If we don't know who we are in Christ, we will believe any identity that is pushed upon us, given to us, because that is deception. And you all know that I'm constantly talking about and how Jesus told us. And there's a lot of ways that we can be deceived in this world, and that he absolutely does not want us deceived, especially in these last days. And that specific deception is not necessarily this deception, but like I said in the beginning, but it all stems from that. Our identity needs to come from who we are. The way we see ourselves, our identity needs to be found in Christ. Because if not, we will fall for anything. And we live in this culture of, again, especially for women, we live in this culture of, you need to take time for you, and you need to do what you need to do to find yourself again, and, you know, find your identity again, and you need to find who you are. And of course, I don't think there's anything wrong with a mom or a woman taking time for herself or doing the things that you enjoy. Of course, that is, that's wonderful. God gave you things that you love to do, things that you are good at, all those things. So I'm not bashing that. But what I'm saying is when we look at that and we say those things and we hear those things from a worldly point of view and a worldly perspective, we begin to start searching for who we are in all the wrong things. And every time we do that, we come up empty-handed. Every time. And even if we think that we find something that fills us, we know that that thing is temporary. It's this temporary hold, this temporary identity, right? And when we think that we're going to find our self-worth in this specific thing and find our identity, and then we come up empty-handed and it leaves us feeling empty, we're worse off than we were when we started trying to, quote, find ourselves, right? We've all been there. And we look to, you know, the poster mom on Instagram or whatever, and we think that our life should look like that because that's what our identity should be. Or that's what I should look like because that's what all these other people look like. So surely that's what I should be. And how twisted and wrong and backward all of that is. That is deception at its finest. Because number one, none of that is real, as we well know and talk about all the time. And number two, that's as if saying all of us should be exactly the same. And that's not at all how Jesus made us, how God created us, what he wants for us, the plan that he has for us. It's all of us finding ourselves in him. And when we find ourselves in him, we find our true identity and we find all these other wonderful things that stem from the foundation of our identity being in him. Because we can find ourselves also in the sense of, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I'm a sister, I'm a praise and worship leader, I'm a childcare worker, whatever it is, fill in the blank, because we all have those, praise God. But again, even in, are those good things? Yes, Those are wonderful things. Those are things given to me by God. Those are blessings in my life. But I'm here to tell you that if I find myself in those things, I'm trying to find my identity in the title that a person relies on me to have. And when that person lets me down, I feel like I'm failing in that identity. Wow. That's good, you guys. You feel like you're failing in that specific identity when you don't measure up to be the mom. When you don't measure up because you feel like you're not being a good enough wife. Or when your husband lets you down. Then suddenly you're mad and that identity doesn't feel like what you want to be or that you're not measuring up. But see, our identity isn't meant to be found in that. All of those things are little blessings, little offshoots of my foundation, of my identity in Christ. Those are not the foundation. And wow, again, yes, those are blessings. They're incredible. I wouldn't want to live my life without those things. But I can't find myself in and of and only in those things. Because those things are going to let me down. They're not going to be perfect all the time. The only thing that can be perfect for me and to me all the time is Jesus. And my promise that he's made to me, my salvation. Because when I follow after him and I put my identity, this is who I am, then all the other things that I am while I'm on this earth will have a different kind of impact for others and for myself. And when the world lets me down, because even the people that you love the most, even the people that you do the most things for, they're going to let you down. And you're going to let them down. So we can't be found in that, because it becomes a vicious cycle. And then that's when we start to step away from the things that we love the most, because we think, well, maybe that's not even what God has for me anymore. Or I don't want to do this anymore because I'm not even good at it anymore. Even if it is your marriage. Even if it is being a mom. So then Satan deceives us into thinking we should go find our identity somewhere else. Because, see, you're not really, this isn't really working that well. So go over here. Go over and find yourself over in this thing. Or in these people. And now we've got serious problems. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about here. The enemy is good at deceiving. And you want to know why he's good at deceiving? And he wants to try to keep you away from your true identity? Is because he knows darn well what your identity is in Christ. He knows how strong you are when you stand on that foundation. He knows exactly who God is, and he knows exactly who you are in him, and that scares him to death. So what does he want? He wants to take you off course, deceive you, and manipulate you into thinking that your identity is found somewhere else. And I'm going to keep bouncing you around all over the place so I can keep you in confusion and bondage to these other things that eventually lead you to a place of sadness and emptiness. So when we put our foundation in him, see, God has already given you a name. He's given you your name. You are his child. You have an inheritance of the King. You are loved and blessed and highly favored. You lack nothing because the King lives within you. You're healthy and you're prosperous. You're protected because his promises are true. And his promises are sure. See, we have an eternal covenant with our Father in heaven because of what Jesus did for us. We're the apple of his eye and the object of his affection. And like I've said many, many times before, when we start to see him for who he is, we can see ourselves for who we are. And all these other things in our lives come into a different type of focus, and we begin to have a different perspective because we know our name starts with being his child. That's our name. And all the other blessings and all the other names that are given to us while we're here as we occupy. Yes, those are a part of us. Of course they are. And they're a part of our identity. They're part of who we are. But it's not the basis. It's not the place where we start from. Don't be deceived. Don't fall for the lie that you need to search somewhere else and in all these places to find out who you are. The only place you need to go to is before the Lord, because he loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life that is beyond anything that you could ever possibly imagine. So read your word. Get to know him. What does he say about you? Because he speaks to your heart and he shows you things. He reveals things and unfolds things to you. And the more we begin to see him and we build our foundation there, we're not going to be shaken and we're not going to be deceived. And it doesn't mean that Satan's not going to still come after you, because like I said, he knows exactly who you are, and he's going to fight you until we are out of here. But we know the enemy, and we know that deceiving voice, and we never follow it, because we know whose we are. We know where our identity is found. You are found in him first. And when we can find ourselves there, how much easier we can help others, especially in a time right now when people are crying out for help. They're lost and confused. They're sad and broken because this world leaves them broken, because they have no identity. They have no name. But God is calling them, and we can help them find their true identity in him. Amen? You guys, I hope that this message helped you to see just how precious and wonderful and beautiful you are, that you are more than enough because of who he is in you. I pray that it helped you. I pray that it is uplifting to you. Send this message to someone else that might need it. Share it, that others can hear it and know it, believe it. It's an easy, easy way to share the love of Jesus with somebody else. As always, I appreciate you guys listening, pressing play, hanging out with me. I appreciate it more than I could ever, ever possibly say. I hope you guys have a great week, and I'll see you here next week at That Girl.